What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It's Monday, May 14th, 2018, almost halfway through the month here. We have got a lot of stuff to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments and questions here. So let's just get right on into it because we do have a lot of stuff to cover. Obviously, today is the Nakba Day. The catastrophe, or if you're on the other side, the 70th anniversary of the creation of the State of Israel. A lot of protests, something like 35,000 protesters protesting the move of the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv, which is still officially Israel's capital, to Jerusalem. And needless to say, down in Gaza, there's a huge protest going on down there as well by the border fence. And the IDF are just, they're just shooting huge numbers of people, and apparently there's something like 54 people have been killed just today only, and 1,300 have been wounded. And Israel is still taking the position that these peaceful protesters represent an enemy in a war against Israel's borders. So that's their justification, and because it's a war, humanitarian law should not have to apply. Well, there are rules of war, including the kinds of ammunition you're allowed to use on the enemy, and those expanding butterfly bullets are definitely not allowed. So even Israel's excuse for why they're doing what they're doing, they're still in violation of various laws and rules, because they don't care. They don't care. Now, Trump didn't make it to the embassy opening himself, but he did send Ivanka and Jared Kushner, who got on up there and said the usual things to make Israel happy, that Israel has a right to protect their borders, which is kind of amazing because Israel has never officially drawn their borders. Israel's borders are written in dry erase marker so that they can be moved quickly when Israel grabs pieces of other people's countries, which if you have studied the history of Israel, they're constantly trying to grab pieces of other people's countries, the Sinai, Lebanon, Syria, so obviously the West Bank, so forth and so on. Okay, now, little video did come on out from Gaza, despite heavy interference from the Israeli army, and Israeli drones were filmed dropping incendiary devices on the tents housing the protesters. And the video I saw, it looked to me like it was white phosphorus, which again is banned for use on civilians. In fact, its only legal use in warfare is as a smokescreen. You're not supposed to drop it on buildings. You're not supposed to drop it on people. Meanwhile, in order to prevent more videos and photos from getting out of Gaza, the army is jamming all the cell phone systems in Gaza. They're just trying to keep this stuff from getting on out. And so they're basically trying to lock down the cellular networks here. Now, one of the people who got shot is Alaa Asad al-Swafari, 26-year-old peaceful demonstrator, and she was shot by an Israeli sniper. And the irony of this is because Israel won the Eurovision competition with a song that claimed to advocate for women's rights. So a little touch of irony there. They're singing about women's rights at the Eurovision, and then they turn around and they shoot women in Gaza for peacefully protesting. I guess women's rights doesn't apply to the Palestinians, only to the chosen ones. It's our rights, not yours. Our rights we're celebrating here. So basically, we're looking at the situation. And it is escalating because along with the move of the embassy and along with the atrocities along the border with Gaza, apparently a bunch of settlers stormed the Temple Mount and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And so there's fighting going on there. And of course, yesterday, Israel fired over 20 missiles into the Gaza Strip just to prove that they could do it. So Israel is really pushing. I think Netanyahu wants a third intifada that it can use to terrorize the Israeli people into more obedience, as if the threat of war with Syria and Russia wasn't enough to do it. Anyway, Norman Finkelstein is out there talking about crimes against humanity committed by Israel against the Palestinian people. And he's saying, where is the solidarity for Gaza? Everyone's always talking about solidarity with Israel or solidarity with these people, solidarity with that people. How about solidarity for the Palestinians? Because all they're protesting for is their promised right to return to their homes that were taken from them during the creation of the State of Israel. And the United Nations has passed resolutions saying the Palestinians have a right of return. In fact, Israel's membership at the United Nations carries with it a condition of a Palestinian right of return. And I think, given what is going on down at the border of Gaza and Al-Aqsa Mosque, it's time for the United Nations to kick Israel out, because they have not complied with the conditions placed on its membership. There were two: the right of return, and then if the Palestinians of their own free will chose not to return to their homes, Israel would financially compensate them for the properties. Israel has complied with neither one. And this has been going on for 70 years. 70 years. And because of Israel's lock on all these Western governments and the corporate media, everybody just looks the other way. If this were a mirror situation, if the Palestinians were just gunning down Israelis at random, imagine the reaction you would see both from the U.S. government and the U.S. corporate media. It's a massacre. It's horrific. It's the beginning of a new Holocaust. But because it's Israel versus Palestine, nope, no story here. Don't need to worry about that. We're going to do a shout out now to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. But the reality is, there is a dark side of Israel's independence. And Israel was basically built on one of the biggest lies of history, that Palestine was a land without a people for a people without a land. And that is absolutely not true. Palestine has been continuously occupied for 2,000 years. There was a thriving culture when Israel started to come on in and carve sections of it off. They did mostly agricultural exports. They had their own music. They had their own arts. They were world-renowned for their embroidery. They had their own coinage. I got a whole bunch of stuff people have sent me over the years, artifacts of Palestine. There was a people in Palestine, and they've been displaced. And they were promised a right to return to their homes, and that's what these protests are all about. They just want what was theirs. That's it. Now, turning on over to Syria, apparently the battle for southern Damascus is entering what is hopefully being described as its final phase. And the cities of Beit Sam, Babila, Sida Magdad, and Yelda in southern Damascus have basically been liberated. And forces are now looking at combating ISIS in the Yarmouk refugee camp, Tagadom, and in the northern part of Al-Hajar al-Aswad. And the Syrian Arab Army, the Palestinian Liberation Army, and other pro-government factions have liberated the Educational Development Center, the Assad bin al-Furat School, the United Nations Relief Welfare Agency School, Jazeera Roundabout, and multiple nearby points in Al-Haraj al-Aswad from ISIS. Currently, the main clashes between government troops and ISIS members are going on near the town hall. Meanwhile, the Syrian Air Force has stepped up its bombing campaign against the remaining ISIS fortifications in the area. Now, according to the ISIS-linked news agency Amaq, 38 Syrian Arab Army soldiers have recently died in the clashes in southern Damascus. This is all but over. Assad has won. Unless the U.S. does another false flag chemical weapon attack and just goes on in again, which we cannot possibly rule out. Meanwhile, as part of the deal with Syrian authorities, militants who are now leaving the battle area are surrendering their medium and heavy weapons. Apparently, they're being allowed to take their light weapons with them. And among all these medium and heavy weapons, they're finding huge amounts of Israeli-made weapons. And that may explain why ISIS and Al-Qaeda never attacked Israel, even though they're supposed to be these dangerous Islamic terrorists. And I'd like to make a little point here. If Israel has so many weapons that it can hand them out willy-nilly to terrorist groups, why do they need more weapons from us? Just something to think about. Meanwhile, the corporate media is out there just attacking and smearing any dissenting Syria narratives. And they really don't have an argument. So it's personal attacks, ad hominem attacks, and no less than 7 smear pieces were issued by prominent publications in a single day. You know, how can you doubt the rightness of the war in Syria? Are you an American? Are you a terrorist sympathizer? Have you stopped beating your wife? Kind of stuff here. Now, as you know, Trump kind of got caught in a little bit of a flip-flop, which never looks good to the electorate, because just before this false flag chemical attack in Douma, Trump had gone on TV saying he wanted to pull U.S. forces out of Syria, wanted to wind it all down, which sounded really good. And a lot of people said, yeah, we're all in favor of that. Then there was the gas attack and the war was back on. Then Trump came on out and said that what he meant by getting the U.S. troops out was to get a coalition of Mideastern nations to go on in and take the place of the American forces. Well, Egypt has refused. Egypt is saying they want no part of this mess. They didn't create it. They don't feel any obligation to clean it up. Russia is expressing their gratitude to Egypt for refusing to send troops into Syria because the U.S. wants it. It's another indicator. U.S. influence in the region is on the wane. It is weakening. Over in Iran, their foreign minister has embarked on a tour of world capitals, basically a charm offensive, to try and save the nuclear deal. He's going to speak with the P5 plus one and say, P4 plus one, obviously the United States is out, and try and keep the Iran nuclear deal in place. Now, what's significant about this is obviously Iran wants to continue trading with these countries, and these countries so far are saying, yes, they're going to trade with Iran. They're going to ignore the U.S. sanctions. But there's another aspect of this you need to keep in mind. The reason Trump pulled out of the nuclear deal was all this talk about Iran wants to arm itself up, and Iran is a war power, and Iran is doing this, and Iran is doing that. So no less than 11 identifiable lies in his speech when he announced he was pulling out of that deal. But Iran isn't acting like a country that is becoming militaristic. They're trying to keep commerce going. They're trying to keep peace going. They're willing to stay with the nuclear deal. Now, John Bolton is out there saying that the U.S. may sanction European Union companies which trade with Iran. And I think the world is getting really sick and tired of the U.S. throwing its sanctions weight around. We're already hearing pushback from those European nations, including a threat of retaliatory sanctions against the United States. Now, Europe's economy is weak, that's true, but ours is far more fragile. We can't survive a trade war with Europe. We can't survive sanctions. It's the downside of globalism. The U.S. government weaponized sanctions in order to basically influence other countries. And he's running a very high risk here. In fact, there's an article over here at Tom Luongo saying, will Trump torch the global economy on the bonfire of his vanity? And Trump is out there. Again, we want regime change in Iran. We want the Shah back. I'm sorry, he's dead. Well, we'll get the son of the Shah back. And the Savak, they kept those gosh darn Iranians in line. They know how to keep a population under control. So basically, we're going to see the global economy take a hammer blow. A serious, serious hammer blow. Another article castigating Donald Trump, this one out of Zero Hedge. Trump's Pyrrhic victory. The U.S. opts for a path that can only lead to war. Well, of course, that's where it's going. Trump has already said he wants regime change in Iran. Now, they did a regime change in Iran back in 1953. They brought down the legitimately elected government of Mohammad Mossadegh, and they installed the Shah of Iran. who was basically a dictator and a tyrant, and he ruled Iran with an iron fist and gave advantageous deals for Iranian oil to British and American oil companies until finally the Iranian people got sick and tired of him and they kicked him out. And then the Iranian people held referendums and they put together a new government. That's one of the lies in Trump's speech about how Iran currently is a dictatorship. No, it isn't. They chose to be there. It's their country. If they want to be Islamic, they can be. And then back in 2009, knowing how to carry a grudge, the U.S. tried a regime change in Iran again against Ahmadinejad. And the lies were easily exposed because now we're dealing in the age of the independent media exposing the lies. And what really brought down that last attempt at regime change were two events. The first was unveiling the flag of the new Iranian Republic, which was the exact same flag that the Shah had used. And that woke everybody in Iran up as to what was going on. Then the son of the Shah got on TV and announced he was ready to resume the peacock throne. And that's when it all started to fall apart. So either by direct invasion or another covert attempt at overthrow, Trump wants regime change in Iran, even though it's not really up to him. It's up to the Iranian voters. Now, if they try a color revolution like they did in 2009, and if it fails like it did in 2009, then it will mean direct military intervention. And if you look at how long we've been in Syria, 7 going on 8 years, it'll take at least that long in Iran. And one of the consequences of Trump's reckless action is it's driven a political wedge between the European Union and the United States, a rather bad one. In fact, over in Germany, Der Spiegel had an illustration depicting Trump as a middle finger flipping off the European Union. It's actually a very nice graphic, by the way. So except for Israel and the neocons, nobody agrees with this. The consensus is the U.S. has gone rogue. And there's an article exactly by that name over at Information Clearinghouse, where Trump has basically just blown off our so-called traditional allies, France, Germany, and the United Kingdom, rented lips. And now the United States is aligning with Saudi Arabia and Israel. And that's the new axis of evil, Saudi Arabia, America, Israel. It's a major realignment of U.S. strategic relationships. And here is what is really significant about that. The United States is no longer dealing with the first world. They're now dealing with, if you want to call it, the second world, if not the third world. Trump has lowered our status in the eyes of the rest of the planet. Now, over in Moldova, over half of the Moldovans oppose membership in NATO. They ran a poll and basically found that Moldova's integration into NATO and the EU is only favored by 38% of the country's citizen. Another 22% said Moldova should unite with Romania. So the luster is off the allure of NATO and the European Union. And it's obvious, you can see why. Europe's economy has just been drained by the European Central Bank. Their culture has just all been but obliterated by the refugee crisis. And as far as NATO's concerned, NATO is supposed to be a mutual defense pact, but instead it has become the aggressive arm in all these wars of conquest taking place across that part of the world. So, yeah, we can understand why maybe the Moldovans are saying not a good idea to be part of either one of them. Okay, we're going to take a break for commercials and we'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And once again, we have to put on the beg. We need your help. If we're going to stay on the air, if we're going to continue to get the truth out. The big money is all on the side of the liars. That's the reality. These billionaires, they've got all this money that they can spend to hire online shills and basically buy the corporate media up. What Republic Broadcasting Network has is you. And we need you to step up. The postal address to send a check, money order, or if you prefer anonymity cash is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number to pledge to become a recurring subscriber is 800-724-2719, extension 03. Getting on over to the Mediterranean, there is a Russian warship apparently tagging along with the USS Harry S. Truman. And apparently they're just keeping an eye on each other. The warship is called the Yaroslav Mudry, and it's keeping its distance, but it is basically just following the Truman around, keeping an eye on it. Over in Germany, Christian Lindner, leader of the German Free Democratic Party, is saying it's time to back off the tensions with Russia. No sane person wants to fight with Russia. And he says it's time to invite Russia back into the G8 or somehow included in the economic associations to get the commerce going again. Peace through commerce. And he's saying it's time for all the anti-Russian sanctions to be dropped without any conditions. These sanctions are strangling the economies of so many countries around the world. They're harming Europe. They're harming Russia. They're harming American businesses. Also, the U.S. government can get Russia. We got to get Russia. Those Russians are bad. We got to get them. Mike Pompeo is out in Korea basically promising that if Kim Jong-un denuclearizes, the United States will not seek regime change. This is part of the run-up to the meeting between Kim Jong-un and Trump. And Pompeo's out there saying, no, if you give up your nuclear weapons and stop with the long-range missiles, we promise we won't regime change you. And if you believe that one, I have some of Saddam's nukes to sell you. And I can't believe Kim Jong-un would be that naive, especially looking at the histories of Iraq and Libya and so many other places that the U.S. has played the same game with. I'm starting to really think that right after the meeting with Trump, Kim Jong-un and Moon Jae-in are going to announce a rapid Korean reunification. And that will basically end any U.S. justification to be anywhere on that peninsula, north or south. Now, Pompeo is also holding out a promise of financial investment into North Korea once the nuclear weapons are gone. We're going to send investment over there. We're going to build factories. We're going to help North Korea build their economy. In other words, they're going to turn North Korea into a new source of cheap labor to export American jobs to. Now, North Korea, of course, is formally closing its nuclear test site. Not that they could ever use it for anything ever again. The whole mountain is just fractured from that last bomb they set off. But they are going to basically close all the tunnels with explosives and take down all the buildings. And they're inviting the world press to come and witness all of this. Meanwhile, apparently, people in South Korea are taking all of this peace talk seriously. And they're starting to buy up land right along the edge of the DMZ. All of a sudden, that's turning into prime property. And they're right. If that DMZ comes down, they're going to be in a great position. Open up gas stations and drive through kimchi shops and stuff for all the people that are going to be traveling back and forth. So, getting on to our domestic political situation here. John Brenner, who was CIA director under Obama, has gone on TV to go on the attack against Donald Trump. And Brennan appeared on MSNBC to discuss the Trump administration securing the release of three American hostages held in North Korea. Now, by the way, little side note here. You're going to see this on all the corporate media reporting about it. North Korea has freed the hostages. They freed the hostages. They were not hostages. They were arrested for espionage. But hostage makes them look sympathetic. Anyway, Brennan went on to say that Kim Jong-un was crafty and duped Donald Trump into believing him. So Brennan said, Kim Jong-un is very masterful and very smart. Isn't that weird? Just only a little while ago, they were saying the guy was a nutcase. Oh, well, change the propaganda. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be back with a phone call after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website, by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. At AROutfitting.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And we're going to go right to the phones. Dustin in New Jersey. Aloha, Dustin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike, I want to know why God blessed America. How come he didn't bless the Native American Indians, who were the indigenous population of this country?
Well, because they didn't call themselves America. That's why.
I want people to think about that, though. Like, God bless America, God's chosen ones. If you believe in God or not, look at what's going on in the world with your own eyes. It's all about power, about human beings controlling other human beings. This is what it's about. You know, it's not about God this, God that, or just not about money anymore. These people got oodles of money. Just look at Ivanka's dress today, $2,500 dress probably. You know, Kushner saying we're righteous and all. Righteous and sovereignty, he was talking about, Mike? Sovereignty. What about the sovereignty of the Syrian people? You know? I mean, this is ridiculous.
Well, they're just out there with the sales pitch, trying to convince everybody to go along with their agenda. And you're right about, you know, people using God to get their populations to go to war, because it's cheaper than actually paying them. There's a movie called Cold Mountain, which is a really good movie. It takes place during the Civil War. And at one point, there's a line in there where the main protagonist is out there saying, I imagine God must get very tired being called down on both sides of a conflict.
Yeah, Mike, I'm Catholic. I went to catechism. You know, I went to Catholic school, but this is about power. It has nothing to do with God. It's being used. Believe it God or not, this is about power, not about money. It's about power and control over other human beings. The Israelis, not the Israelis per se, but the Zionists, they don't care about the Palestinian people, just like they don't care about the American people. Otherwise, they wouldn't have outsourced your jobs and bailed out the banks and Wall Street and stuck you with the bill. They don't care. They never
no, they
cared.
Don't. You know, they're all about themselves. They have an unshakable sense of entitlement, and they think the world is supposed to just treat them very well. Everybody else, you know, they're either useful or they're not useful. Remember when Bush called them the useless eaters? Andrew Carnegie actually believed that the super rich were a distinct species of human beings and that all the rest were a somewhat, well, they were children of a lesser god, and they were just there to work and make the super rich richer. See, the problem is wealth is addictive. It doesn't matter. When you get up to that kind of money, it doesn't matter how much they've got. They got to have more because it's the thrill of getting more that drives them.
Which would probably would be power then, right? Because they have so much wealth, that would just be power to control people. You know, like, remember Occupy Wall Street? People ripped on it, but when Occupy Wall Street was walking past Wall Street, the higher-ups were drinking, like, champagne out the windows, looking at all the little people down below. That's why they build these buildings so high, Mike, to look down at the little people below. You know, that's what it's about, the small-minded people. You know, we stick them with their TV shows and their sports, right? The crap
on TV. Have you ever been to Wall Street?
Yes,
have you ever been to Wall Street? There are barricades permanently built into the streets there, where with a flick of a switch, they just shoot right on up. I mean, it's a very well-protected area because they understand what it is they're doing to the country, and they understand that people who are awake and realize that private central banking and the stock market aren't there to serve the general population. They exist to serve themselves.
Just like in the old days of old, with the kingdoms, the people who didn't have anything lived on the outskirts of the kingdom. The kingdom was surrounded by walls. The same now. You know, the walls aren't seen until they come up out of the ground. It's the same system. You know, the kings and the queens and the paupers, right? The nobodies. You know, they raid you for your tax money. They'll take your chickens and your daughter for the money, right?
Well,
as it is today, Mike.
I need to give you a little historical correction here because the whole point of a large castle was not just to protect the king and queen. The king and queen had their own protection. It was called the keep. But the reason for the larger walls around there was if a foreign enemy was invading your country, you would bring all the workers and farmers inside the castle, because ultimately their labor produced the wealth for the royalty, and so you had to protect them. And that was the purpose of the castle system.
I stand corrected. Hey, Mike, real quick, I want to mention Russia has a surplus. They paid off their debt to the Soviet Union. It's all paid off. Now they got a surplus. So they got more money coming in than they need. They can give it to the people. I just want people to think about this. We have debt. We don't have a surplus.
We have unpayable debt. We are way past the point where it could ever possibly be repaid. And remember, because of the nature of private central banking, it's impossible to pay off the debt because by design, the debt always exceeds the available money supply. The reason Russia is able to pay off their debts is that Putin's government took over control of their central bank. It's still privately owned, but it's managed by the government so that Russia's public currency is run as a public utility, the way the American currency was originally set up before the private central bankers got hold of our country. And that's basically when Putin went from being a good friend to at the top of does not get a Christmas card list, because he's a threat to the system of private central banking around the world. People are going to be looking at Russia, and they're going to say, that's working for them. Why are we not doing that here? Exactly the same has happened in Germany when the Nazis kicked out their private central bank imposed on them by the Treaty of Versailles, came out with a value-based currency. Their economy lit up. It was called the German miracle. And people were looking at that and saying, why aren't we running our economy the way they are? And that's why World War II was engineered.
Just look at the EU. They're debt, too. Russia, China's a, I want people to remember, China owns Smithfield Foods, which is the largest pork producer in the U.S. They have the Waldorf Astoria. They own one of the J.P. Morgan, or the bank in New York with the seven stories, and one of the vaults is a football-sized field length. China is the creditor nation. We are a debtor nation. I hate to say this, Mike. I said it before. It's over for us. It's just we're a dying, us and the British and the UK and the EU, not all of it, but Germany might be the best of them all, but they're dying. That's why I'm bringing all the refugees in, trying to prop it up. That's it, man. I mean, it's over. You know, it's just This is a slow grind, Mike. And, I just
hope it falls apart before we find ourselves in a nuclear war, because right now, with all these hotheads and psychotics in power in Washington, D.C., the only thing that's going to prevent a global war that will go nuclear is if the economy collapses, taking the federal government with it.
And that's all you need to say, and I have to say, Mike. Have a good show.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to switch over to Kevin in West Virginia. Aloha, Kevin. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mr. Mike. I got a couple of things on my mind. I want to go back to what you were talking about with Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump. I agree that you are right, that Trump is being duped here. And I think he's being duped by his advisors, by stroking his ego, by saying, hey, yes, you brought North Korea to the table. You know, you're going to get a peace prize out of this, or a Nobel Peace Prize. Well, first off, I don't know who in the right mind would want that, because that Peace Prize, Nobel Peace Prize, has been I don't think it's worth anything now. I mean, they gave it to Obama for nothing, and look at all the wars that Obama started around the country. I think Trump is deserving of one? Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if Trump is deserving of one, of getting North Korea to the table. He has done a lot. I mean, look at his rhetoric. You can agree or disagree with that. But my point is that I think they're stroking his ego, and they're setting him up for a fall. This deal with North Korea, it looks absolutely fantastic if we could get them to denuclearize. But like you said time and time again, every time the United States gets somebody to give up their weapons, it makes it easier for us to go in to attack. And I hate to see that. I mean, Jeff Pompeo, like you reported, Jeff Pompeo saying, hey, we're not looking for regime change. The first thing that I thought is, well, they probably are looking for regime change to make it easier to keep North and South Korea separated for the military-industrial complex to keep selling money, or keep selling weapons, not money. I was wondering, if you felt the same way, if Donald Trump was being duped in that sense, or is there another reason that he's being duped with this?
Well, first of all, it's no secret that Trump is easy to manipulate. That's been coming out over the last several weeks. Apparently, he does succumb to flattery, and he is out of his depth on a lot of these international issues. So, at this point, I think he's definitely being manipulated. As far as his accomplishment in North Korea, it really is kind of moot, because had the United States kept their hands off Korea 5 years ago, they'd be reunified today. And there wouldn't be a nuclear issue or hostilities or anything. The United States created this mess, and now that it looks like the mess is cleaning itself up, Trump wants to take credit for it.
Absolutely. And going into what Dustin was talking about with Russia and China, how I look at this, I look at beta fish, and I look at three beta fish. You know, two fight each other, and the one sits back, and then attacks the one that won, that's pretty well scarred up from the previous fight. And I kind of look at that like Russia, China, and the United States. From what I'm understanding, I've been reading plans that there's plans for once Russia and China get their high-tech gear, that we are going to go to war with them, with the United States, Russia, and China, China and Russia being allied together. It's just that Russia and China hasn't got their weapons in order yet. And the timeline I'm looking at is 2020 and maybe 2022. But you're right, and Dustin's right. America, you're seeing the death throes of a dying empire. Now, when I'm saying that this global war that I'm talking about, I don't know if it's going to kick off, but the things that I have been reading looks like that's how they're going to bring the United States down, is in a few years with a nuclear war to stop the United States war machine. It has me a little afraid. I'm not going to lie. But I don't know if that's propaganda, if that's disinformation. I'm wondering if you're reading or seeing the same things that I'm seeing, or the same reading the tea leaves, per se.
I'm seeing pretty much the same thing that you're seeing. And again, I think it's going to happen sooner rather than later, because right now the U.S. government is in a race against the economy. Because if the economy implodes and the government doesn't have a villain to blame it on, or a war to blame it on, then the American people are basically going to be pointing their finger at Wall Street and Washington, D.C., as well they should. So I think also there's the issue that the American people are starting to stand up and say, this has gone on long enough. We're starting to lose support among the European nations. And so I think if there's going to be a war against Russia and China, it'll happen sooner rather than later. All it's going to take is one hothead to really kick it off.
I agree. Well, that's all I have for you, sir. I hope you have a great and wonderful show, and keep giving Miss Claire the best. I hope she's doing better and doing well.
Yes, she is. She actually is. And thank you very much for your concern. We're going to switch over to Mark in North Carolina. Aloha, Mark. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Doing great.
Mike, what's happening in Israel now is fine. What they're doing to the Palestinians. And what disgusted me today was Alex Jones. He's supporting this. You know, I expect this from the mainstream media support. I don't expect from Alex Jones.
Well, Alex has always been a supporter of Israel, and that ultimately was the reason why I left the Genesis Communications Network to come over here to RBN.
But I mean, you know, it was like listening to Fox News today, listening to him. And, you know, I turned it off. Last hour, Salente came on. I don't know how Salente even comes on anymore. To be honest with you, he's totally stands for different things than Alex Jones. He's for peace. He's getting our troops out of all these places in the world. Jones is just backing up Trump. All he'll do now is he'll say, Trump is good, he's great, he's this, he's that. I don't know. I don't know if he's been bought off or if he just, you know, his power corrupts. You know, he's getting bigger and bigger, and maybe he's to make deals with some of these corporate monsters in order to get onto their radio stations, their AM and FM radio stations, or what? I mean, he's just, you know, he keeps on saying much bigger. What he should really do is go back to the old Alex Jones, the Internet. He's plenty popular then. He doesn't need this stuff.
He does, because his larger audience is why people like Gerald Salente will come on his show, even if they don't agree with him. They want to get that reach.
On his old show, I've been, you know, listening to Alex Jones since, I don't know, some around 2008. In fact, I remember when you were a guest on there a couple of times.
Yes, yes.
You know, and Salente's been on there all the time, as far as I remember. As a matter of fact, I got to know who Gerald Salente is through Alex Jones. There are certain people, like, I don't know if you remember this guy Tarpley. He's not on there anymore. He doesn't come on anymore. She came on a few years ago, but Cynthia McKinney hasn't been on in a long time. I don't know. I think the man is destroying his own reputation. He's turning out to be a hypocrite, and it's a shame, because when you think alternate media, that's the first guy that comes to mind.
Along with Matt Drudge, for example. But if you go to YouTube and do a search for Alex Jones, I Support Israel, you'll see a video from very early in his career where he basically declared he was an ally of Israel. And at that point, his rise to media stardom began.
By the way, I just want your listeners to know, and you might want to look this up. Blackstone Intelligence. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but this guy's very good. Anyway, he really detailed, I was looking at it on YouTube this weekend, and he detailed exactly Trump's connection to the Rothschilds and how he was bailed out by the Rothschild Bank back in the 1980s when he went into bankruptcy because his evidently real estate in New York had rock bottom at that time, and they bailed him out. And this is where a lot of these connections are. And I get, and also this Wilbur Ross is now the Commerce Secretary. His connection to Rothschild, his connections to Trump back then to bail him out. So I think people got to start, you know, wising up and understanding who and what Trump really is too. He is not playing 4D chess. He's controlled. I think the guy who's got him really, who's really had him down pat from the get go is Richie Allen. I know you've been a Richie Allen show.
Okay, well, Mark, got to let you go. We got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back with more news.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. I want to back up here a little bit to what's going on between Israel and Gaza right now, and to just show you how pathetic the propaganda is getting. Israel and the U.S. are now taking the position that Hamas put all those protesters out there to be shot by the Israelis as a propaganda stunt. In other words, they made us kill them, mommy. That really takes the cake there. They were peaceful protesters. They had flags. They had placards. And Israel was using expanding ammunition designed to just absolutely maim, if not kill outright, anybody it hits. China has just begun testing the Type 001A, its second aircraft carrier, but the first to be built in China. They have one other carrier that they acquired elsewhere. It's 70,000 tons, and it can do 31 knots. And it's got the little ski jump on the front. And apparently this will carry 36 J-15 Hunters on board. So everybody's arming up for the coming war here. Now, Erdogan is saying Israel is pushing the Middle East into war, and it certainly does look like it. With all of these escalations going on all over the place, Israel's escalations into Syria, and again, to counter the corporate media propaganda, Syria didn't just uncork on the Golan with all those rockets. They were responding to the Israeli attack that happened just an hour after Trump pulled out of the Iran deal. Israel struck first. The corporate media is dedicated to portraying the Syrians as evil and Israel as the poor, helpless victim. Because after all, a nation that has 400 nuclear weapons has to be protected and supported here. So Erdogan is out there saying Israel's pushing the region into war. He's absolutely correct on that. Erdogan also said that the U.S. chose to be part of the problem, not a solution, with the embassy move to Jerusalem. And in response to what's going on between Israel and Gaza, Turkey has now recalled their ambassadors, both from Israel and the United States. Speaking of ambassadors, the U.S. ambassador to Israel was president of an American charity that donated money to a Jewish group designated a terrorist organization by the United States. And this was reported in the Israeli media just days before he was due to open the new embassy in Jerusalem. This is David Friedman we're talking about. He was president of American Friends of Beit Yeshiva Center between 2011 and 2017, which raises about $2 million a year for settler-linked programs, meaning the illegal settlements. Now, speaking of the illegal settlements, apparently the Israeli army has now installed two iron gates on roads leading to farmlands near Bethlehem, blocking the Palestinians from accessing their own land and setting the stage for a possible new illegal settlement. We'll be back after station identification.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, healthcare has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.